six. Matthew 6, and we're going to start in verse 5, and we're going to talk about prayer. And this is the most obvious prayer in the Bible. How many, by show of hands, could probably recite it? A lot probably could. We're not to it yet, but we'll start in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do. And I got written down there, and I'm not trying to cut down the Catholics, but they have a lot of recited prayers, a lot of recited sayings. That's not what God's looking for. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. This is a lot like my messages. I'm just speaking and I think I'm going to get something out of it. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, and this is the part where I imagine everybody knows, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How many times do we, that becomes ramblings? I don't know how many times I've heard it, and everybody says it together, and that's wonderful. But when we're praying that, are we seriously looking at why Jesus put it in there for? It's to be a guideline to how we pray. And are we taking that and using it in our prayers, or are we just vain babblings? Verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Dan Asquith, would you open our prayer for us?
Father, thank you today for us that we're all able to assemble here. Appreciate your word, give me words to speak, give us the ears to hear, deaf to hear. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. So again, this is a model how to pray, not just to be repeated. And unfortunately, this becomes again just a saying. It's something we memorize. It's just something that's said. I'm not trying to cut this down, but it seems like just about every funeral I go to. That, which seems to be more and more lately, but is, especially if they didn't know Christ, I'm not cutting this down at all by any means, but it seems like they always do Psalm 23, because people have heard that psalm before, and it somehow comforts them in a special way or something, but it gets to a point where it's just repeated, and we just repeat the words, we did that, yep. Every time we look into God's word, we should be looking at every word. That's what I like about Pastor Asquith is every word's in there for a reason. Don't just skip over it. Don't just, like the Lord's Prayer, we just say, oh, repeat it. Take the time to slow it down. And even though you know it by heart, take each word, look at it, check it with your prayer life to see if that's where it fits in, if you're doing it the way God would want you to do it. I heard a story, and I can't take credit. I heard it from, it was on the radio, I can't think of the pastor now. But he said that he told this story, but he used it a different way. I'm going to tell it, and I'm going to turn it towards prayer. There was two elderly men laying in the hospital bed in the same room. One was in the window bed, one was in the C bed. If you don't know, I've been in hospital, so I know that C stands for closet, and W stands for window. So the guy that's on the closet side, they both know that they're in there for a while. So they're serious health complications. They know they're going to be there for a while. They've become, obviously, acquaintances, not friends, but acquaintances. And they're sitting there, and the guy on the closet side starts to resent the man on the other side. Say, well, why would that be? Because he had the window. He had something to look at. This man in the closet side felt that he was better off because he had something to look at. And he started to resent that man. as if you were that person in the closet side, and put us in that bed, we would probably start to resent that person too, because all we see is the closet. And we're the first one that everybody comes in the door to. They see you, they wake you up, whatever. But you might get to that point that you resented them. But as a Christian, how would your prayer be for that person? Would you be praying for them with specific intent? Or would you be praying for them with all your heart that they would actually get healthy? How would your prayer go to that person if you were in that situation? Would you resent them? Or would you be seriously, purposely praying for them and for their health and for the best outcome possible? How are your prayers? Do you mean your prayers? What is your intent when you're praying for people? Are you praying for your will or their will? Now, he could have started praying, Lord, get this guy out of that seat so I can get over there. Or he could have been praying for this man to get healthy so that he could be released and then maybe get over to that window aisle, okay? We looked at Matthew 6. I talked about the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord's actual prayer is in John. So go to John 17. And I guess we could probably read through the whole thing. I'll read very fast. John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. So this is Jesus praying to the Father. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth, and I have underlined there our goal. Our goal should be to glorify God on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, as we're going through this, again, remember, this is Jesus talking to his Father. This wasn't like in Matthew, it wasn't do this in this order, it was an outline or how you should pray. This is him personally praying to his Father. Step back and think about that for a second. That's huge. We have the same right to go to the Father just like Jesus did.
Amen.
A lot of times, that's where I'm trying to hit on this, the outline prayer. A lot of times we think that's just enough to repeat the prayer. But do we take seriously talking to our Father? Verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, I look at that verse, and that's Jesus saying, I've lost nobody. I've kept everybody that I'm supposed to have. And I will keep them. Where was I? 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. excuse me, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You can put yourself in there right now, okay? Jesus did this prayer how many thousands of years ago, but he's there to keep us from evil. One of the ways we can do that is through our prayers. He'll give us the strength we need if we're in constant contact with him, praying constantly to him, not just praying for our dinner food. We have to be in search of him through prayer. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That last verse is talking about the love the Father had for Jesus, he has for us.
That's right.
Yes, sir. We kind of get lost in that because he's the Son of God. We don't think of that. He died on that cross for us because he had that much love for us. He wouldn't have done it unless there was that much love involved. If it wasn't going to show his love, he wouldn't have done it. Again, that was a long chapter, but I challenge you to look at that and see the love Jesus has in there. Even talking to his Father, he still had that kind of love for us, and he has it for us today. It didn't go away back when Jesus left the earth. His love is still here for us today. We just have to be willing to accept it. We have to be willing to have our minds blown. There's a lot of times that I sit down and read something in the Bible and just say, he couldn't have loved us that much. But it's several times through your Bible. He didn't just say it once and then go on to something else and I didn't mean that. He means it through the whole Bible. It's there for us. It's for our learning, for us to grow from it. Amen. If Jesus needed to pray, how about us? How many have a prayer life outside of just Wednesday night and Sunday night, or Sunday services? Are you setting yourself a time to pray to your Father that paid it all? Now, a lot of times we remember Jesus and the fuzzy feeling that, yep, he loves us, he died for us, we got saved. Okay, then he requires a couple more steps from us. That's living for him, reading his Bible, and praying. That's when you can have the most intimate time with Jesus to get his thoughts, his desires for your life is in prayer. We started the story about the two guys in the bed. We go back to the story. One night, the guy in the closet bed, the one by the door, he has gotten very resentful of the gentleman that's beside him. And one night, he wakes up and he hears the other man choking. Us as a Christian, we know what we should do. At least hit the buzzer and try to get a nurse. But as Christians, we should be praying for that person that's hurting, going through something difficult. Bad things are happening in their life at that time. The man in the closet bed does nothing, ignores it, and waits for the man to die. That's where his thought process was. He wanted that room by the bed so much, he was willing to not do anything so that man would die so he could get moved over by the window. Are you not praying for someone when you know you need to? If someone's prayer request has been brought to your knowledge and you just neglect to do it because you're too busy, or you got other things going on, it slips your mind. Miss Ruth Ann sends a prayer request through. How many of you stop and go to prayer for that person, or just shuffle it off for a later time? We are called by God to call to Him for other people. We are to be, we're not the intercessor, Jesus is, but we are called to do our job to pray for that person when they're in need. Are you like the guy in the bed? You're just going to, you're passive. You don't care if it happens, what happens. You don't care how bad the person needs your prayer. You don't care. Or you just throw up a random, yeah, I'll be with this person or I'll be with that person. Or are you seriously praying for the person and their need? How about when you tell somebody you're going to be praying for them when they have a situation and then you never pray for them? That's the same as sitting in that bed and not hitting the call button for that person that was dying beside. Where is your prayer life? What's important enough to you to pray for somebody else on their behalf? Are you just, you're fine and you're taking care of yourself, or are you worried about somebody that needs your prayer, somebody that's asked for your prayer? That's what these prayer chains are for. That's what, if you're a Christian and you live the life and you have non-believers come up to you and say, can you pray for me on this, or can you pray for this relative or whatever? That's your duty as a Christian, to pray for that person. If you say, I will pray for them, then do it. Don't forget it. Don't let it slide off. Don't, when you get the prayer chain update, oh, okay, yeah, I'll get to that. There's a reason that we're supposed to be praying. Do it. Follow through with it. Don't be like the man that does nothing and lets the man die just because you didn't get to it or you just didn't have a reason to do it. John 17, 20 through 26, we already read it. We should desire to be like Jesus in His love for others with our prayers. We need to... He was praying in several different parts in that chapter. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for future believers. He prayed for different things in there. Is our prayer life just over the teeth, over the gums, look out stomach, here it comes? Or are we thankful for the food that's put on our plate? Are we thankful, especially in this last couple of years, are we thankful that we have the money to buy the food? Are we thankful for everything He does? So I want to do an experiment. And on the count of three, everybody take a big gulp of air in, okay? One, two, three. Did you have to think about that before or after? God created us with such love, we don't even have to think about the next breath. It just comes naturally. If you are an evolutionist, pick a body part, do an in-depth study on that body part, and tell me that evolved from soup, or a big bang happened and that happened. We just used our lungs. Oxygen was taken in, was sent through our body, through capillaries and through everything else, and our breath came out with carbon dioxide. We did nothing but just what our body did. God took care of the rest. You didn't have to think and sit here and go, okay, it's 1:45. Okay, it's 1:50. Your body just naturally does it. God put that in your body. That's how awesome our God is, and He cares about your breath. He cares about whoever you said you're going to pray for. He cares about their breath. And He's waiting for you to do your part and pray for that person if you said you're going to. Prayer should be very important in our lives as Christians. Again, not only can we bring other people before Him that are in need of pain, or they're in pain, or they need our prayer, But it's, again, it's a test of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Is it going to be important enough to take time aside to pray or not? Jesus prayed for others. We need to pray for others. The part three of the story, the view out the window. So the man dies. The gentleman's closet seat gets moved over, or closet bed gets moved over to the window. With all his strength, he leans up to see what that beautiful view was. It's a view of a brick wall.
Awesome.
What are you praying for? He was desiring to get in that spot so badly, he was willing to let that guy die just so he could get a glimpse out that window. Is that our prayer life? Are our prayers just hitting a wall? How much power is in your prayer life? Do your prayers hit the wall? The story could have had a much different ending. If the gentleman in the closet side seat was a Christian and he was living for the Lord and loving the Lord, he, A, could have witnessed to the other gentleman, tried to get him to salvation, but he could have been intently praying for that man that he could have walked out of that hospital. It's up to God to answer the prayer. It's up to Jesus when we pray. And that's why it's important we understand it, that we pray God's will, not ours. Now, I can pray for a Corvette. And if I get that Corvette, I'm guaranteeing you that it's going to have an oil leak, the rear end's going to leak, it's running on three cylinders. You have to have the right motives in your prayer. You have to have the right prayer life to see what, again, God will show you what you need to learn in your life and how your life's being lived by praying to Him. There'll be times that you'll just, and I get it, there's times where prayer gets, you just, oh, I got to pray, and you have to force yourself to do it. And then there's times it's just easy. If you're having a hard time starting your prayer, getting into your prayer, there was an acronym, I think they call it an acronym, that was put out there, ACTS, A-C-T-S, and one was acknowledged, one was, I can't remember now. Anyways, have a contrite heart, different things. But if you can't get into, you're not enjoying, you're not having that wonderful moment, you're not, it's not easy to you to have a prayer life, start by thanking Him.
Amen.
We just talked about the air in your lungs. Thank Him for the air in your lungs. Thank Him for vision, hearing, the ability to eat, the ability to sleep, the ability to work, whatever it is, just you start and He'll bring multitude of things to your mind, what you need to be thankful for, and just thank Him for it. And that'll help that relationship bond. Okay, if you're having a hard time with that prayer, he'll show you how wonderful, how powerful, how amazing He is, and He still loves us enough to call us His children. The view of the wall, how much power is in your prayer life? Do your prayers hit the wall? The story could have ended so much differently. We talked about salvation. Your prayer life is a representation of your love of Jesus. And that, you say, well, what does that mean? You know, I pray so that I must love the Lord more. The more you get into your prayer life, the more you're going to understand who God is and how much He loved you and how much He did for you. In John, again, he prayed for himself, but he didn't end there. He prayed for multiple people in that prayer Jesus did. We can say, Mr. Neal, I can't do it. I can't pray in front of others. I can't. Well, if you stay with that excuse, you never will.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You have to get out of your comfort zone. Was Jesus comfortable when He got the thorns put on His head? Was He comfortable when they made Him carry the cross? Was He comfortable when they nailed Him to the cross?
Good.
We worry about way too much comfort.
That's right.
From the time I can remember till now, I'm not saying that we had a rich, glorious life, but we had everything we needed. you look back at many years before that, they didn't look at time and say, this is really bad, I don't enjoy this. They just put the time in, they just worked, they did everything because they knew they needed to make a living to provide for their families. We get focused on being comfortable. Back in the Old West, they didn't have a lot of comforts. We're living in a time where comfort is at our fingertips. And yet we can't get out of our comfort zone to pray for somebody or to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ or have a meaningful relationship with somebody else. You can pray. It just takes baby steps. Again, I talked about start with just thanking him, and it'll just unload how much power he has for you. I'm debating about talking about this, but in my opinion, Wednesday nights in prayer meeting, I'm not saying it's comfortable to pray for everybody. But if you can ask prayer for something in your life, and I'm not saying stop asking for prayer, I'm not saying that. But you can at least, it kind of bugs me when you can ask for prayer, but then you don't pray. And I'm not saying don't ask for prayer, and I'm not saying you have to pray. That's not a prerequisite. But work on it.
That's right.
Say, Lord, I love you, thank you for being here. That's all you got to do. And then it will get comfortable. It'll get more comfortable until you can openly pray for other people and openly pray for yourself.
Yeah.
My wife did a lesson for our teens for the Christmas party. Do what's right, not easy. We are required to pray for other people. Please don't stop asking for prayer if you're someone that doesn't pray. I'm not saying that. But just try it sometime. Don't just pass it over. Try it sometime. Try to pray. Pray for someone else. I won't say names, but this last Wednesday, we had a young man started into prayer, and his mind went blank. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
He understood. It wasn't making sense to him at the time. Basically, he wasn't grasping what he wanted to pray for. And he said that. Lord, I can't get something to come together. Amen.
Good.
But he took steps. He took steps to have a prayer life. That's what we have to do. As Christians, we are to mature. If we don't mature, you have to take steps to mature.
Amen.
Go to 1 Kings 18, and that'll be our last scripture. Now I'm going to brag on my parents because they're here. We prayed all the time as a family. We got an hour up before church and we prayed. Every time the fire whistle went off, the ambulance whistles, anything we prayed, it was just...
Amen.
Helped myself and my brother learn how to pray at a young age. Believe me, I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but that was something we did with our kids is before they went to bed. Don't do it just because it's on a movie and you saw it sometime, but you go and you tuck your kids in, have prayer with them, make them pray. You teach them at a young age how to pray. Again, you're not being judged by how good a prayer you had in church. You're not being judged by you have outstanding prayers. One of our gentlemen, that when he prays out there on Wednesday nights, you can almost physically see him. He knows he's talking to God.
Amen.
You know there's power in what he's saying because of his relationship with Christ, that he can just talk to him, just like a friend. That should be our goal. We should be able to talk to Jesus. He is our friend. He wants to talk to us. 1 Kings 18, verse 36. Pastor Askus was here last week, I think at 1 o'clock, if I remember right. And I skipped down a couple verses ahead of him. And I wasn't listening, I just skipped down a couple. This is the story of Elijah, and he's challenging the worshipers of Baal. And he says, set up your idol, and then go get water, and pour water, not your idol, your sacrifice, thank you. Pour water on it 1, 2, 3 times, and had a trench around it, and water was around it. And they called, and they called, and they called, and nobody answered. Now, that can happen in your prayer life, but look at your life more in depth if that's happening. If you're not getting an answer back from Christ, and I'm not stupid. He's not going to say, well, Neil, you screwed that up today. He's not. You have to be listening to him, and you need to be talking to him, and he'll point things out to you. If you're not having that, or you don't feel that in your relationship, it's probably you. And I'm just saying, there's probably something wrong in your life if you're not having communications, being able to communicate with God in that way. But verses 36 and 37, after he tells them, pour the water, do whatever you want to do, they're cutting themselves, they're doing everything, trying to get fire to come down, and their God wasn't listening. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Fire comes down, laps up all the water, burns the sacrifice. It started with prayer. If we just read there in 36, he called out to the name of the Lord. He didn't. These other people were calling out to Baal. It's just a fake god. You need to know who your God is. He called out to the one true God. How can he hear if he doesn't recognize the voice? You can get saved. You can come to church on Monday and Wednesday. You can read your Bible here or there. But if you're not in constant communication with God, how is he going to hear your voice? When something's serious, when that person in the other bed's starting to choke, how's God going to know who you are if you're not constantly talking to him, if you're not in constant communication with him? Don't be afraid. Be truthful. He already knows your heart. You can say whatever you want. Like on a Wednesday night, you can have the most eloquent prayer. If you didn't mean it, God already knows it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
If all you can do is stammer out 5, 6 words and you mean them, that's stammer right. out right. 6 or 7 yes. words. But don't just stop and not try.
That's right. Good.
Don't be afraid. Be truthful. He knows your heart. Prayer isn't your wish list. This is going back to my Corvette. You can pray for things. Lord, give me $100,000 this year that would really help my life. You can. But you say also the add the part, if it's your will. He could give me that $100,000 and it could ruin my life. I could go to the casino and start getting hooked on gambling, trying to get richer. God's going to give you what you need, but you have to be understanding what you need. You need to be asking for the right things in your prayer. Prayer isn't your wish list, it's your growth list. He will help you grow, but you cannot get anything without putting in the work. You can't just sit around and say, God bless me. I'm a special person. It's not going to work. You got to put work into your Christian life. You can't just think that if you come to church on Sunday, you come to church on Wednesday, you do all the things you're supposed to do that God's pleased. He wants to have a relationship with you.
Amen.
And that starts and ends with prayer. You cannot draw closer to him if you're not willing to look for him, if you're not willing to put the work in to draw closer to God. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for us. I thank you for this time. I just pray that you would be with the ending of this service. I ask that you would help us throughout this week. I ask that you would just Bless these teens for their willingness to help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to turn to...